We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Feel like Kobe in the fourth quarter.
This is the Dame Moore NBA podcast brought to you by Blue Wire Podcast. Coming at you July 9th here at Las Vegas Summer League. I'm joined by Mark Laurie. Mark, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, man.
I heard you just, you just came from basketball practice.
I did.
What was that like?
I love it. I played a lot of sports growing up, huge basketball fan, but never played basketball. I guess it was the height issue. But, got into it, after bought the Timberwolves, really felt like, it's a great time to take it up. So
been tracking your work on Instagram.
Yeah, been doing it, loving it.
The jumper's coming around.
It's coming around. Today was a little tough day. But
he put you to work? Who's your trainer?
Phil Beckner.
Okay.
Was the main guy. And then Sam Frayer, he's good at coaching me now, works for Phil. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
You had an audience watching you today.
That's true. You heard about that?
I heard about that, yeah.
Yeah, I was like shooting them, knocking them down when they were playing.
Yeah.
And then they all moved to the bench and they're all sitting there watching.
And then it was just
bad. It was bad. It was really bad.
We got to give you an audience. You got to get used to playing. We got to get you in the celebrity all-star game next year.
I know. First of all, I have to play a game first.
There you go.
It's all shooting and dribbling.
We'll get there. All right. Well, the first big Timberwolves thing to get to is guys made a pretty big acquisition last week.
We did.
I'm sure that a ton went into that. What sort of role do you play when that's going down?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Alex and I and Glenn and Tim and stuff talked about it. And we felt like this is the right time to get aggressive. It's not that often that you get a chance to bring in a player of Rudy's caliber, without having to give up your stars.
Yeah.
And that was too good of a opportunity to turn down. We had a great year last year. Ant and Jaden are sort of coming into their own. They're going to be in their third year now. And Kat's just coming into his prime. We felt like it was a really good time to be aggressive.
Yeah, it seems like that's a real, key tenet of just, your life philosophy and the success you've had, professionally is leaning into that aggression. Why is that the right move in business and in basketball, do you feel?
You got to take its calculated risk.
Right.
So, you're looking at sort of the probability. I like low probability of a big outcome with really high expected value, right? Like you don't want to take risk when if you played that game 100 times over,
right,
it wouldn't work out. You want to take, high risk opportunities that have a high expected value, right? And I think, just given he's got years left in his contract, it's the right time.
He's locked up.
He's locked up. I mean, I think he's one of the most underrated players in the NBA. I mean, the Utah Jazz was the most winning team in the West the last 4 years. That's
right.
In large part due to him. Mm-hmm. I mean, just ridiculous. I think defense is undervalued some too as well. So
it is a funny thing with him, right? And I think it is a product of the way that the NBA has evolved recently and a little bit, going a little bit smaller. I feel like that sort of undervalues the center. And then defense is just kind of hard to quantify, right?
Yep.
How to effectively measure that. And it feels like Rudy, while he gets a ton of respect, 3-time defensive player of the year, but it feels like there's confusion in the NBA market of how exactly to, value him. And I mean, in my experience, you're talking to smart people, analytics people, it's like no brainer. Like, look at the impact that this type of player
has. His impact had. Winning, there's no question. It's been incredible. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we'll surprise some people this year.
Yeah.
I really do. I mean, 71% from the field.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. He had a career best, I think, 14.7 rebounds last year, a couple blocks.
Mm-hmm.
He makes people better. I think that's the hard thing to value. And that's why analytics really comes into play. You could just look at the box score stats. That doesn't tell the story. He's going to make people better. Cat's going to be better. D'Lo will be better. He's, you know, everyone on the team's going to be better when he's out on the floor. And that's what really excites me and excites us. And so
how is that process for you of like, I mean, really integrating yourself in basketball and like understanding these things? Like, I've heard that, you know, have a finance background, statistical background in that sort of way. Like, what has it been like to apply that to a totally different like avenue?
Yeah. Honestly, being a stats guy and stuff, it's fun. And I'll know some stats and stuff. But at the end of the day, like, it's not me making the decisions. It is, you know, Alex and I and Glenn, you know, basically hiring the best people and empowering them to make the decision,
right?
And building that trust and having a set of values to live by and building the culture. That's really where I think we could add value is on the culture side and bringing in great people. But at the end of the day, if you bring in great people, you got to let them do their thing. And so, you know, this is something that Tim... recommended. Like, yeah. Tim recommended. And, you know, we have a lot of faith and trust in Tim. He recommended it. And that's all we really needed to hear. Yeah. I mean, we can, of course, think ourselves, you know, like a basketball fan about the stats and how it fit and things. But I think, you know, the arguments were sound. We're really excited. I think the Twin City Towers.
That's what we're calling it. That's going to stick. With the Tim point, like, it does, I've just learned how important to him is the idea of character. And I mean, that's what he said repeatedly with the draft. And now as you start to acquire players in free agency, of how important that is to him. And, you know, to put a group of people together, not necessarily just players. Did you get that sense that that's what he was about when you were interviewing him for that job?
Yeah, absolutely.
What did that look like?
No, I mean, we talk to a lot of people and you start hearing the same thing from a lot of people. You know, when you get to that level, there's usually people saying good things and people saying bad things about you. Pretty much universally, people were saying good things about Tim. And a lot of it was focused on character. I look at that a lot.
Sure.
I think character and the values are most important. You can work around everything else. You can't really work around, you know, people that are going to be a negative impact on the culture. And we felt like he would be a perfect fit for the culture we want to build. And, you know, just hiring, you know, we knew he would hire great people that were a good cultural fit and would get the best out of the people that we had there already. We have some great people in the organization. And it's so far, it's still early, but it's starting to play out.
Right. It is interesting, you know, just from where I sit of like how much has changed since was the I think the Tim's press conference was, you know, June 1st, right? We're sitting here on July 9th. And
right.
You hire a new president of basketball operations. That's obviously a massive move. You make this Rudy trade. But also, I feel like the Carl element of the extension has kind of been, you know, overshadowed by just all of this other change that's going on. And I mean, for years now, the past few years, you know, this was, is Carl going to be able to get that contract extension? Will it happen? And then so much of kind of like the tumult that's been going around the team in those couple of years, I think that was an open question. And then it felt like something that just, you know, just kind of happened quietly. And it's just like everyone, I'm like, okay, yeah, they got Rudy Gobert, but they also got Karl Anthony Towns for four more years on top of 2 years. Like this is a pretty big deal. Obviously, I know Carl's someone you've gotten to know well. I think he checks those personality boxes
as well
there. What has it been like to get to know him and to make this really significant commitment to him?
No, I really enjoy getting to know him. And I think you said it there. It comes down to values. He's a great guy. And it was an absolute no-brainer. I know it's a lot of money and people can say that, but it was an absolute no-brainer as far as we're concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, he's going to be around for the next 6 years. He is our franchise player. And it's been great getting to know him. I think...
He's such a fascinating dude.
I mean, just incredible. I mean, it's going to be incredible to see how what Coach Finch, who I think is going to figure this out, but how Rudy and Carl can be on the floor at the same time. But I mean, you've got a big man shooting. He shot 41% from three last year and almost 40% career 3-point shooter. That's ridiculous.
It is.
It's insane. And this is going to give him a chance to, you know, shoot more.
I was going to say, yes, the volume's going to go back up.
The other thing I think is, like, we can help, you know, Rudy can help keep Carl out of foul trouble. You know, he's going to have more minutes on the court this year. I think Carl's going to be better than he's ever been. I know he's excited about it. I've talked to him. Mm-hmm. Everyone's excited and fired up. I think we're going to surprise some people. I really do.
Yeah, it's going to be. What has it been like for you? I mean, I don't know how much you do the, like, do I put my blinders on and, like, headphones on and not hear the noise? Like, what is it like to make a massive move, whether it's the Tim hiring or the Carl contract extension or the Rudy trade? Like, what is it like to be like, okay, I'm the one in the room talking to all these smart people. Yeah. We've made this decision through our process that we think is right. And then you have some people who are like, yeah, that checks out. And then you have the other side who's like, oh, there's too many picks or it's too much money or this and that. I've always been curious from the, whether it's the executive side or the ownership side, like, what do you do with the noise?
Yeah, you block it out. Yeah. I mean, I do that in my own entrepreneurial businesses and things. I don't read the press, stuff like that. People
don't
say,
listen to podcasts.
People say things. Yours, I'll listen.
There you go. Yeah.
People say things on both sides, and there's all kinds of arguments and things. You have to just, you know, have a clear vision, because not every decision is right in every circumstance. You know, it's right for us at this time, given the vision that we've got, given, you know, where the players on our team currently are in their career trajectory. Right. Like, there's a lot of factors that go into it, but I think, you know, all things considered, it was a very smart decision. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's all about getting the inputs right. We don't know what's gonna happen in terms of
like you said, it's the expected value.
Yeah, it's the expected value. I would do this, you know, every time, make the same decision, same time over and over. And I think it would work out over the long term for sure.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So year two now. I'm assuming year one was a lot and learning and experiencing it all. Like, do you still feel like you're in the, like, new phase of it, or you're like, okay, now I'm off to high school? Like, you know,
no, it's still grade school for sure. I know someone asked once, you know, how's it feel to be thrown into the deep end of the pool? And, you know, honestly, like, with Glenn still being the control owner for the next, we got another, you know, year and a half here. Like, we're in the shallow end, me and Alex, and we're just learning. And Glenn is sort of there to educate us, to teach us. Yeah. And it's been great.
Right.
It's worked out really well. And now with Tim on board, just already in 6 weeks, I've learned a ton from Tim. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we love just absorbing the information and just listening and learning. But again, like, it's all about getting the right structure in place. Do you have the right mission, the right set of values, the right culture? Do you know who you are as an organization? Do you know the types of values you live and the character traits you're looking for? Do you have the right organizational structure? And do you bring the very best people in the world in? And do you empower them so that you get the best that they've got? You know, like, there's just, that's sort of the winning formula for startup, and we're sort of applying it to the team. And I see no reason why it wouldn't play out that way. When you meddle and you get involved and you get into the weeds, that's where I think, you know, you start to run into problems. And if you disregard or don't put enough emphasis on values and character, you can get yourself in trouble too. So, you know, I think hopefully we'll have some real continuity in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. We've got Coach Finch, you know, for a while. We've got Tim for a while. We've got Carl, like you said, for 6 years, and Rudy and Ant and Jaden. Hopefully will be with us for a long time. It's pretty cool to be a part of it.
So from, if we just call it organizational structure, like scale of 0 to 100, how far have you moved over to like being where you want to be at 100 of this is what me and Alex talked about wanting to create and put in place. How far along are you in that process?
Yeah, I think we're pretty far along. Things are moving fast. Obviously, there was some key positions that we had and wanted to fill. I feel pretty good about where things are. Mm-hmm. I think we've got great people in place. The culture is really starting to come together. Feeling really good about things.
What about in terms of your integration into like the community in Minnesota? I remember when we've talked before, that was an important thing to you and wanting to not just get to know it, but kind of like build in Minnesota.
Yep.
and create more there. How's that part going?
Yes, it's still early. I think this year we're going to be dedicating a lot more time. Last year was a whirlwind, just trying to get, you know, our heads wrapped around everything. But we've made a lot of
NBA schedule's insane,
great,
man.
Yeah,
it's just ghosts.
Met a lot of great people in the community, and we've got some really cool plans to give back to the community this year coming up. So I'm excited about that. And
what about in terms of building something in Minnesota?
Maybe an arena? Is that what you're talking about? I mean, you know, we've got a vision. Mm-hmm. We want to be, you know, one of the most admired teams in the NBA and do all the right things in terms of stuff we said around culture. Over the long term, it'd be hard to imagine being admired in that way without a new arena, but we don't have any set plan on when that would happen.
It seems like, obviously that's a major undertaking down into the future, but it seems like you've started to try and make tweaks and changes. I've been here for a while and seen what Target Center was like. And I know that's not all exclusively you, as you have a whole team and organization that's putting it together, but it does feel like Target Center is evolving. The fan base is evolving and it changed. And I mean, I guess part of you goes, okay, you got Anthony Edwards, you got a better team, you got a better, you know, you're a good
Start
coach.
All that,
yeah. But I feel like there's a lot that, you know, that's behind the veil too, that we don't see. And I would imagine that's something that you and Alex are pretty intimately involved with as well.
Absolutely. That was also we hired Marquise Watts, chief experience officer. I think, you know.
He was my basketball coach in high school.
I heard this. That's right. I
promise you it's weirder for me.
That is insane.
I know.
That's crazy.
Great
That's
guy.
Crazy. You really know. I love Marquise. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, he's starting to like really start making an impact, and hopefully we'll see a lot more from him. But, you know, to have somebody of Marquise's caliber focused on the experience, player, you know, fan, just the whole brand of the Timberwolves, I think is really going to be impactful over time. It's not something that happens overnight, but we're excited about that.
I've always felt like, I mean, I'm a big believer and fan of a person of like the Minnesota basketball community. And I feel like the Timberwolves haven't fully like taken that on and embraced it. And it's kind of a hard thing to like paint a picture of or what that is, but I guess that's experience, and it's getting people in Minnesota who do love basketball to not just, you know, I always joke that back when the Wolves were bad, it was like people didn't go to Wolves games because they were embarrassed. Like they would watch at home by themselves. Yeah. And now it totally changed.
Yeah, no, there's a sense of pride for sure. And I think it, you know, if you want to change the narrative, it's not just one thing you do. It's a series of moves that make sense to people, that give them hope. And hopefully that's what we're starting to do, and you're starting to see as a fans that we're making smart moves. We're not overcorrecting.
Sure.
We're not just moving people out to move them out. Mm-hmm. You know, that's really important. The continuity is important, but you want to also have continuity, create a culture, you know, elevate the caliber of people in the organization. Mm-hmm. And that's always sometimes a tough thing to do. You know, to keep continuity, but also elevate the talent. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, we're sort of.
It seems like it has been like a fairly similar application process to what you've done in your other businesses.
Yeah.
Like you came out right away and you were saying, you know, I'm going to apply X, Y, and Z that I've applied at every other stop that I've been at. And I was kind of like, initially, I'm like, well, you know, it's the business world and the sports, like, do those work? But it does seem like what you've done.
In both cases, it comes down to people. And so, you know, I often talk about VCP, vision, capital, people. Mm-hmm. I think if you get to all those things, all three of those things right, magical things happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, the vision certainly takes time to craft and think about who you really want to be and the strategy to back that up, the org structure and stuff. But the hardest part and the part that people most often get wrong is the people part.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just start hiring and firing people. You need to know the type of culture you want to create. What are your values? What do you stand for?
Mm-hmm.
And what are the character traits that you want in the people that exist in your organization? And you have to know that first. So when you start recruiting or bringing people in, you're bringing people that fit that mold and you know are going to be a good culture fit. And if you don't do that work first.
But how do you know what the mold is? Is it an in-person, like we're talking like this, and you're like
to know
judging
a new person?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Like to bring someone in.
Yeah, that's
like Marquise. Like you didn't know Marquise before you're on this
team. That's hopefully what, you know, 20 years of entrepreneurship experience and hiring, you know, thousands of people, you start to, you know, have pattern recognition. You know how to interview people and ask questions to sort of get at what their core values are and what their character traits really are. And sometimes it's hard because in a 1 hour interview or multiple interviews and stuff, people don't share their true self.
Right.
So how do you break the walls down and see
I've never shown my true self at an interview.
Either have I.
All right. We'll leave you with, what are you just most excited about for this year? Like what, when you're like, okay, 2022-23 Timberwolves.
Yeah.
What is that?
No, I'm excited to continue the momentum from last year. I think we've got considerably better. I think the team's starting to really gel. I think the front office is gelling. The ownership's gelling. Like everything's starting to come together. And I think we've got a real shot this year. You know, I really do. And so it's
like a shot. Like
I think we got a shot.
Okay.
I do. Yeah. I think we're going to surprise people. Mm-hmm. I think Rudy's impact on Kat and D'Lo and Ant, I mean, on everyone. Everyone's going to be better. We won 46 games last year. And suddenly you add a three-time all-defensive, you know, all-NBA guy.
Do you realize how insane it will be if, maybe not this year, but if it, at some point the Minnesota Timberwolves, in all seriousness, like two people from Minnesota, if the Timberwolves honestly ever win a championship, like.
It's going to happen. It's just a matter of time. Like I said, you get the inputs right. You can't control all the outputs, and there's definitely a bit of luck associated with going all the way. But if you, every year, you're in the mix, I think it'll happen, you know? I really do. I really think it's going to happen.
Hey, man, I'm
don't
I'm
know
about
when.
It. I'm about it. Let's make it happen. All right, Mark. Well, I appreciate you coming on. I'll see you at the championship parade in about 9 months.
All right. Thanks, Dane.
All right. He's Mark Lorry. I'm Dane Moore. Back to talk to you more for the rest of Summer League with what's going on here. And thank you again to Mark Lorry for coming on. I'm sure I'll see you around this week.
Absolutely.
That's all right, good. Until then, he's Mark,
right.
I'm Dane.
Right.
Peace out. How I'm feeling, man, I hope it never stop, yeah. Green and hot so you can find me in the crowd, yeah. Don't let standards ever bring you down, yeah. Hope you dancing like nobody else around, yeah.